Well, good evening, everybody.
Amen.
Welcome. Did you enjoy the worship?
Amen.
Are you blessed?
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. My friend, God is good.
Amen.
And how many of you know that He's alive?
Amen.
You know, Jesus is risen. There might be a grave, but it's empty. Amen. It's empty. Tonight we're going to have some people share their testimonies, and you know what, it's always a very, very wonderful experience when we have people share testimonies. Can I tell you why? Because it proves that God is real. It proves that Jesus is alive. It proves that you're not believing some fairy tale, but that your faith has substance. Amen?
Amen.
Right, let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I want to read you a scripture. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 23 to verse 25. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Okay, let's stop there. What did Jesus do everywhere he went? He preached the... look at your neighbor and say, tonight, I will receive... good news. I like that. Tonight you're going to get some good news. You know what? You're so used to putting the TV on and getting bad news. Isn't it amazing that you can come to a place where you can get some good news? Where when you leave this place, you're going to be uplifted. You're going to be excited. You're going to be enthusiastic. You are going to receive an injection of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the fire of the Lord will come upon you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Come on, Louis, look like you're excited. What's wrong with you, man? Of course you're excited. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the wonderful thing with being in the house of God is anything can happen.
Amen.
And probably will.
Yes.
Well, bless God for that. Let's look at the scripture. Okay. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness amongst the people. Okay, I want to say something to you. Right now, the way things are, we are confronted with an enormous amount of sickness, disease, infirmity, epicorners, problems, skeeta, paina, etc., that medical science cannot cope with or deal with because they have no answers. There's the Bible's answer. Jesus can heal every disease and every sickness known to man. Amen?
Amen?
That is why Jesus will always be the healer. Anybody else is a healer, but Jesus is the healer. Right. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now news about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases and those suffering severe pain and the demon possessed. So those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Why did these people follow Jesus? All right. Let me help you to understand this. The people follow Jesus because of what happened where Jesus was. When you brought the sick to Jesus, the sick got healed. When you brought the demon possessed to Jesus, the demon possessed got healed. I want to say something to you. Wherever Jesus went, the fire of God burnt hot, red hot. And when the fire of God comes down, it deals with the rubbish. It can deal with sickness, it can deal with infirmity, it can deal with pain, it can deal with suffering, it can deal with every demon, every devil, and every curse that is upon your life. Whether you like it or not, that's what happened where Jesus went. And I want to say something to you, you've heard me say this before, but I firmly believe it. The people did not follow Jesus because of the good sermons that he preached. Because I don't think Jesus preached very big sermons. In fact, Jesus spoke to most people in parables, which is like story form. And why did he speak to them in story form? Because he wanted to take complex kingdom principles, but give them to people in a simple way that it made sense so that even children could understand. In fact, the Bible says, unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. I'm capable of preaching a sermon here tonight that can blow your mind, and I don't mean that in a good way. I can preach so high that none of you understand anything that I say, and then I can tap myself on the shoulder and say, wow, that was a very good sermon. But you're all going to walk out of here confused. You're all going to walk out of here thinking, what on earth was that? And then we miss the plot. Jesus did not preach complicated sermons. You didn't need a PhD to understand the religious drivel that came from his mouth. It was short, sweet, but powerful. And the power came from the Spirit of God that worked with him. And the Bible says when the disciples went out and they did what Jesus did, what Jesus taught them to do, the Lord himself worked with them and he confirmed the word with signs and wonders that followed. What is the easiest way to evangelize the lost? Signs and wonders and testimonies. Now listen to me carefully. They brought in people from all over. But why did the people come from all over? Look at your neighbor and say, because somebody spoke. Somebody spoke about signs. Somebody spoke about wonders. Somebody spoke about miracles. And we call that what? Testimony. Jesus had a massive following because people were willing to open their mouth and testify. Can I tell you one of the biggest problems we have in the church today? People don't testify. Yes, there can be a lot of reasons why people don't testify. Maybe you're in a church where nothing ever happens. Then I don't blame you. There's nothing to testify about. Maybe it's time for you to find a new place. Because I want to say something to you. God is real. And what you read in the Bible still happens today. Jesus himself asked the question. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he still find faith on the earth? I don't know about you, but I have faith. What he says, yeah, is it can happen. If we allow him to, if we give him the reins and we don't take the reins, he'll begin to replicate everything we read in the Bible, and it'll happen right here. And you see, what needs to happen is we need to get to a place that we understand that it is godly, it is biblical to testify what God has done. Do you know in the Old Testament, it was expected of every mother and every father to constantly repeat to their offspring the signs and the wonders and the miracles that God did in the desert so that they will not forget and constantly glorify God. Today, things don't work that way anymore. Today, a lot of people don't want to testify because they feel a bit strange, they feel a bit freakish when they testify because nobody else does it. But that's wrong. We should be testifying. In a way, we are saying thanks to God for what he has done, and we are making his name great. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be thy name. We pray for God's name to be made great. For God's name to be known from here till the ends of the earth. But ask yourself that question. If you've prayed that prayer, how will his name spread to the ends of the earth if you are silent? It's not going to happen, is it? Every one of us have a gift inside of us. That gift is to simply open our mouth and begin to share what God has done. And it doesn't have to be what happened to you. You can even start a ministry in your own right, speaking about what God did for others, and pretty soon you will experience God doing powerful things in your life. But what God is looking for is people that are not afraid to open their mouth. And probably some people are going to think you strange, and some people are going to think you weird, and they're going to call you a Bible basher, and they're going to call you a religious nut, and they're going to call you a Jesus freak. Guess what? They probably call Jesus all that stuff as well. But he was the Son of God. And when God spoke of him, he said, this is my beloved Son whom I love. God loves it when we are not afraid to stand up for what's right. God loves it when we're not afraid to open our mouth and testify. Listen to this. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. What happens when we begin to preach the good news of the kingdom. Listen carefully. And healing every disease and every sickness amongst the people. When you begin to truly preach the good news of the kingdom of God, it stirs up faith in people. It brings about an expectancy, and it causes the anointing and the power of God to begin to flow. When you speak to people about miracles, you better not speak to people about miracles in the past tense, because miracles are real today. They didn't just happen way back when. They happen here. They're going to happen here tonight. Amen. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got a problem? Jesus is your solution. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got a devil? Jesus is the deliverer. Amen. Here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're in darkness. He will bring light into your life. No matter what your problem, no matter what the mountain that you see in front of you, Jesus has everything that is needed to get you to the other side, to change your life and to change your circumstances. So, and then news about him spread all over Syria and et cetera, et cetera. And people brought their sick and this and that to him. What we don't necessarily realize is people first need to come to Christ for their life to change. What this passage is saying to us is that hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of people's lives were changed because somebody cared enough to share a testimony with them that brought change into their life. How many people do you know that need some change in their life? Well, you've got the power within you to bring about that change. What do you need to do? Get the boldness to open your mouth. You never know how many people are out there praying right now for change, praying right now for healing, to be set free, to just have an experience with God. And when you open your mouth, you can be the channel that God wants to use to bring the glory of His kingdom into their life. Amen?
Amen.
Bless God. All right. I want to introduce you to two ladies. The first lady, I believe, is Rosa. Am I correct? Yes. Would you mind coming forward for me, please? Thank you, Lord. Okay, so Rosa, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my microphone, and then if you wouldn't mind standing this side for me, please, and then I'm going to use this one. Thank you. Testing, 1, 2, right.
Hello.
All right, let me introduce you quickly. Rosa, this is everybody. Everybody, this is Rosa. There we go. All right, Rosa, you've been coming to our meetings for quite a while now. How long have you been coming to these meetings?
For three weeks now.
If I might ask, how did you happen to come to these meetings?
I came through my sister. You see, I had spinal problems, and I was in a verge of into a wheelchair if I had operation, or walk with hunchback.
All right.
That's correct. For 3 months, I was going up and down to doctors, strong tablets, and all the things that I could think of. And then two surgeons actually decided they're not going to operate on me, or if I'm assigned consent of anything that happened. I used to cry. I didn't know what to do. I turned up to my children. So my sister had mentioned about the church, and so did my nephew, Michelle and Mark. Then my younger daughter, Tammy, she's sitting right over there. She came to me this Saturday. She says, "Ma, don't cry, don't stress. All you need is prayers. All you need is God. No operation done. Go to church. All you need is a prayer." I came here 3 weeks ago, and praise the Lord, I got healed. My spine, amen.
Can I quickly?
In 1 week, I did what I hadn't done in 3 months. I could not move. I could not stand. I couldn't stand more than 5 minutes. There's my son. I would call him for everything. I could not get up. I used to say, "Ricky, help me to cut this. Ricky, help me to do this." I could not stand. I could not do anything.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. You came here 3 weeks ago for the first time.
That's correct.
You came specifically for God to heal your back.
I seek God.
Yes.
I seek God.
All right. You were seeking God, but you also had a back problem.
I had back problem.
Now, I remember the night that we prayed for you. I believe you were sitting on a chair. Am I correct?
Correct.
And I came to you and I said to you, oh, why are you sitting on this chair? And then you told me about your back. Now, maybe what I would like you to do is, these people don't know what was wrong with your back. Can you give them a bit of an explanation what was wrong with your back?
I had my spine was actually skewed, was deformed. Basically, there was no disc, no cushion, nothing. It was
like a C.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then all the arthritis, yeah. And on my, at the back, yeah, I would get up some mornings, I could not move my neck. I would just turn and turn to look up.
Is your name Ricky?
Ricky,
you are a son.
Yeah.
Would you be very offended if I ask you to just come up quickly? I want you to confirm something for me. Did you brush your teeth, son? Good. How's it? How are you? Now, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I want you to confirm to these people. You know what? A lot of the people that are here now, they don't know your mother. They don't know what she went through. Could you maybe just share from your side what you saw with your mother, the severity of the problem that she had?
Basically, my mom has been suffering with the back problem as well as arthritis for many years. It's become very, very severe. Probably towards the end of last year, beginning of this year. And like you did explain earlier, that no or any kind of doctor really would try and help, or if they would help, they couldn't guarantee anything. To a point where my sisters and I had to make a decision that if anything would happen medically, if she would end up in a wheelchair or such, that we would have to obviously look after her or do any kind of just being there for her as much as we could, until my aunts, my cousins, introduced her to the church. And my mom came here, as she said, 3 weeks ago, in pain, and got home that night that she told me that she's got the energy of basically an ox. She can do anything she wants. And I still told her, like, just relax and go slow, I mean, you know. And until now, she still seems strong.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. I didn't see you very often.
And one thing I can testify is when I got home, I was telling them, even every Sunday I get home and I tell them how nice I feel. And believe it or not, I cannot sleep. And the next morning, I will tell my son, you know what, Ricky? It feels if I just woke up, I'm feeling fine. And then I'm starting to clean. He says, Ma, take it easy because that's, you know, it's still everything fresh. I said, you know, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I got healed. And I trust in God. And I came with my faith. And I trust God. And
Reza, I want to ask you a question.
And I can never turn my back in God. Although my back is fine, I will keep coming.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. just hang on for me. I did not see you often. I remember that night when you were sitting on the chair and I asked you that question. But what I do remember, when you got up, one could actually physically see the curvature of your spine. You were completely towards the one side. Am I correct?
Yes.
Can you confirm that? That your mother, you could actually visibly see her whole body was skewed to the one side. All right. Amen. All right. Thank you, Ricky. God bless you. Rosa. Let's talk about what God did that night. For those of you that weren't here, the reason we're talking about this is because we want people to know what God does and we want people to know how God works. Now, we saw here that the Bible says Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now, Jesus is the healer. But you must understand something. If you need an operation, you need an operation. Sometimes a doctor will give it to you and sometimes you will receive it in the spirit. But you still need to be operated to be fixed. This woman's spine was completely skew and some of her discs and things were worn out. Am I correct? And I remember I stood in front of you and I said to you, Rosa, do you believe that God can heal you? And you said, yes. I said, now I want you to understand something. Probably you need an operation and probably God is going to operate on you here tonight. It might be a bit uncomfortable, but the healing will come very, very quickly now. Here's the question. I remember praying for you and I remember you went down onto the floor. And then your whole body started going all strange and funny. I want you to tell the people what you felt and what you experienced inside of you. Because remember, some of these people saw it, but they don't really know what happened to you. Please explain that.
Well, when I basically felt, okay, I started crying. I don't know the reason why, but all I could feel, it was my body moving, but from this part up, like I was moving on this side, like basically like a snake or something moving. I felt my body moving, the side that my spine was bent, basically, like deformed. And I felt no pain. At first I felt a slight pain down here, and then my body moving and moving. And
okay,
then
can
when
I ask
it
you
stopped,
a question? You didn't move your body. Something else moved your body.
Yeah, it could have been, but I actually felt my back was moving then.
but the question I want to ask, you weren't voluntarily moving your body like no. that. The power of God came upon you.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, fine.
And for that how long? That was the power of God, definitely.
For sure. For how long
quite
did that last?
Quite some time.
Probably about
10,
half an hour.
I think.
I think the whole time, roughly half an hour. If she had gone for an operation, I'm not a doctor, how long do you think that operation would have taken? A couple of hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, who knows? I don't know. The total time that God worked on her was probably 10 minutes because she still had to get some recovery time as well. In 10 minutes, God did for you what the doctors said they couldn't guarantee. How many of you know that we should give God some praise? Come, give the Lord a
hand. Amen.
Now, you say, since this has happened, you feel like a spring chicken again.
I do. And I've been actually testifying to a lot of people that I know.
Ooh, I like
and
that. God is good.
And I praise the Lord that, you know, every time I speak to someone, I tell them, who healed me?
Amen. Praise God.
I went to a supermarket where the lady actually asked me, you walking like that? I said, I'm fine. So I told her the reason why. And she asked me actually, where is this church? I said, it's in Springs. Well, I couldn't come up with a name. Then I said, don't worry, I will remember the name. The Monday I went back there, I said to her, what is for Christ?
I actually want to interject something here. You know, there was a time when there was a man standing under a tree speaking to one of the apostles, and he was speaking about Jesus. And they made a reference that Jesus came from Nazareth, and the guy said, well, can anything good come from Nazareth? And I can just imagine these people, Springs, can anything good come from Springs? Yes, it can. Yeah.
I still say, if you trust God, you believe in God, you shall receive.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Roger. Jenny, can I ask you to come forward for me, please? And I would like you to bring your sister. Is it your sister-in-law? Yes, please bring her with. Yeah, sorry, I didn't talk to you before, but we're going to put you on TV. There we go. Ed, I think start a new one for me, please. Otherwise, we're going to cut off. Jenny, please come stand this side for me.
Sure.
Thank you. I'm just going to take this down a slide. Amen. Well, by now, most of you probably know Jenny quite well. Let's try that again. By now, probably most of you know Jenny quite well. She's been here to testify once or twice before. Jenny, I want you to stand a bit like this for me because I want them to get at least one shot of your face. How's that? Jenny came here. How long ago was the first time that you came to us?
It was when you were in the South.
When we were in the South.
Yeah, and then when the first in April 2014.
Okay.
We found you guys again, yeah.
All right. Now, I know that you've actually shared your testimony here before, but we never had the opportunity to video it. So You've got three testimonies as far as I know.
Five.
Okay, five. Yeah. I forgot about
very
one
quick,
or two.
Very All quick.
Right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with the very first testimony.
Right.
Share the first one for me, and then we go from one, two, three, and then I want to get to what God did for you last week, because that's quite amazing. All right.
I believe my first healing was when I was 9 months old. I had meningitis. I was in the fever hospital for how long, I don't know. But it was touch and go. Okay. God pulled me through that. When I was 5 years old, I had a major motor accident. A policeman knocked me off the pavement. I ended up in hospital with a fractured skull. Got a dent in my head, but I've still got everything up there. And I got away there. It was also my mom told me I was very, very sick, and there was a lot wrong with me. But I can only remember a broken arm. That's all I can remember. And I believe there God pulled me through as well.
God is good, eh? And
all
he's been working in your life for a long time, I can see.
For a long time, for a all long right. time. Then in 2009, after a lot of in and out of hospital with pneumonia, they eventually diagnosed me with a condition called sarcoidosis. I had 14 masses inside my lungs. The one was 4 by 5.7 centimeters. They did a biopsy on that, removed it, and took the bottom part of my lung off, my lobe off. I was on oxygen most of the time, 4 or 5 times a day. And then in February 2014, I was on treatment for that all the time. 2014, I had a fall, and I fractured my back. L1, L2, L4, L5, T11, and T12.
Wow.
That was painful.
That sounds
really
painful.
My sister-in-law, Denise, really nursed me basically day and night.
Amen.
I could
Praise
do
God
nothing.
For good people, eh?
She even went as far as coming to clean my home for me.
Oh, shame.
That's why I love her so much, because she's so precious. But God was good. On the 6th of April, I was just before I went down to Mossel Bay to where they were visiting with my brother-in-law. Henny found church again, and I came
All right,
here.
So probably what we need to just interject here, we moved from Robertsham
to
this area, which, if you don't know this area, that's quite far from each other. It's about 70, 80 kilometers.
Yeah, I measured it now. So
and you guys did not know where we moved to.
Where we were to, yeah.
All right, so you had a lot of health problems, and you were actually trying to find us.
That's right.
To come for prayer. And then one day your husband found the
on
website,
the internet.
And we put the new address.
That's right.
Good
that's
stuff.
Right.
And then you came through and you visited.
And then I
us.
Came through, yes. And I had the issue with the lungs, and I had this pain. I walked like a hunchback. I'm going to give a demonstration. I walked in the church like this. I couldn't sit. I slept in a lazy boy chair for 18 months.
Wow.
I couldn't sleep in a bed. That's how bad. On the lighter side, coming back from Mossel Bay, we booked into a bed and breakfast, and I forgot I can't sleep on a bed. So I ended up sitting in the corner on our two suitcases, sleeping in the corner. But it was really painful. And the night that I came here, I said, Lord, it's now or never. I can't take this pain anymore. And the result was, after prayer, I was lying down there,
staying in the spirit.
Let me
interject quickly. I remember coming and I stood in front of her and I said to her, okay, what are we praying for you tonight? And she started with her list. And she went on and on and on. And I looked at her and I said, so what you're telling me is you need an extreme makeover.
Total makeover.
She looked at me and she said, yes. And I said to her, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. And I do believe that the power of God is going to come upon you. And I think I made a reference to strange things might happen.
Yes.
And the next moment, while we were busy talking, I said, in the name of Jesus, receive. And you actually...
I was slain in the spirit.
You went down with so much force, I can't remember who caught her, but whoever stood behind her went down with her. The power of God hit her so hard that she went down, and the person standing behind her went down. You went down with her, and it took you 2 hours to get back up. He was like a telephone pole, just like
this. That was so heavy then.
And the power of God that came upon this woman was just phenomenal. And then your whole body began to shake.
Contort.
You actually began to bounce. You contorted. And this went on for probably about What, 10, 15, 20 minutes?
At least 20 minutes.
Yes. And what did you feel inside of you?
I just felt a burning sensation in my whole body all the time.
In other words, you felt the fire of God burn over you.
All over.
Amen. Praise God for that. Okay, and then?
When I opened my eyes,
yes,
you said to me, take my hand.
There we go.
And I jumped up there, and we ran around the church 4 times.
And then, how's this? How old were you at that stage? Okay, you never ask a lady how old she was. She
I'm
was
not
about
ashamed, 56.
She was about 35.
35, yes.
But I want to say something to you. I was battling to keep up with her. We started running around the church, and she went on and on. And her husband stood there, and I thought to myself, he's thinking to himself, wow, what is waiting for me now?
He was also, he got to the end of it because he was having a hard time with it.
Amen.
Me not being able to do anything at all.
Wow. And God took all the pain away?
All the pain
You got
away.
Up straight?
All the pain
Your
away.
Your lungs were fine?
My lungs were fine. In actual
Now
fact,
you can huff and puff and blow the house down.
In actual fact, I sent my oxygen bottle back to Afrox.
Wow. Amen.
That's how much faith I had.
Ah, praise God. Right, that was the first encounter.
Yes.
Then a couple of months ago.
The 1st of February.
Yes.
When it reopened.
You came here again.
Yes.
Problems. Tell the people why you came.
I had problems. I'd shrunk five inches. It was 5 inches we measured. I'd shrunk 5 inches. And what happened is the nerves didn't shrink. It takes 2 to 3 years to shrink. So I had a lot of pain in my body still from the nerves. I would have pins and needles, restless legs all the time. And there again, the Lord healed me instantly.
That night there was a word of knowledge given that there was people here with problems with their feet.
With restless legs.
Restless legs.
That's
and
right.
You had restless
and
legs.
And I had restless legs, yes.
And then while we were busy, I actually gave that word.
Yes.
And you felt something start happening
yes.
to you.
Yes, I started jumping.
Your
I
legs?
I couldn't keep my legs still.
There we go.
And it was like somebody shooting me in my legs all the time.
Okay.
And then you put me on the mat. And then you prayed for me again on the mat.
All right. Oh, and then you went ballistic and you nearly destroyed half my team. I remember that. Okay.
Unknowingly.
Yeah, no, we forgive you for that. Kozzy is still battling with spasms and stuff, but he'll get over it. You know, he's still young. I'm joking.
God is good.
All right. And then you were healed. No
I
more pain.
I was healed. But then the rat came back and started gnawing.
Okay.
But praise God, he's running, chewing his own tail now.
All right. Let's get to what happened last week.
Last week, my sister and I went down to Natal for 3 days. And while I was there, I had the most awful pains in my feet. It was very, very painful. One doctor says this, the other doctor says that. But then eventually, everything I ate, I had excruciating pain on my tummy. I came here last week, Sunday. I sat there and I was really absolutely, Husela, in contact with Riera. And I was sitting on the chair when you called my name, and I stood up, thanks sis. And you still had your arm around me, and you were speaking
to Rosa, yes.
About my healing. And the next minute, I felt as though somebody punched me with a fist in my stomach.
Was it me? Was it me?
He may have just said, I'm kidding you for the last time. But we're slain in the spirit. I was like jelly on the ground. I tried to get up straight away, but I couldn't. I was all wobbly, and I just stayed there. Again for a half an hour, 40 minutes, I don't know. He didn't tell me. And praise God, since I got up there, to this moment, I haven't had that much pain.
All right, tell them why you had the pain.
Pardon?
Did you explain about the hernia?
No.
All right, explain to them.
I have an umbilical hernia and a hiatus hernia. And that's due to that, everything that I eat affected that, and that's what caused the pain.
Okay.
But then the doctor sent me to have, this is the biggest miracle of all, to have a bone scan and a back x-ray. I went in the week, and then they give the x-ray through to the doctor, and she checked the x-ray. She says to me, have you got a lot of pain? I said, I've got no pain at all. She says, my dear, with a back like this, you shouldn't even be walking. I said to her, I am walking because my God healed me.
Amen.
They have now requested a second bone scan and x-ray to confirm. The doctor is motivated to my medical aid, a second one, to confirm that x-ray was correct.
Amen.
God is good.
God is good, eh?
God is good. God is good.
Amen. Praise God. Now,
praise God.
The reason I asked you to come here, you used to be her nurse.
Yes.
Could you maybe just confirm what she is talking about, what you experienced with her?
Absolutely the truth. She could do nothing for herself. I think she battled to bathe herself. That she didn't let me help her with. But like, she couldn't do a toenail. She couldn't do anything for herself. Cooking, nothing, no. And my brother was getting very tired of this. And I think everybody around her, she was saying sorry all the time. If you help her, then she says, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. But God healed her. And I think we were very happy for her. Yes,
amen.
And we give God all the praise and glory.
Let's give the Lord a big hand.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny. All right. There is a scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 35. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him, and they begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. What I find so amazing about Jenny's testimony, when I walked up to her, I had just spoken to Rosa, who had confirmed that she is healed and that her back is straight, that she's normal, she's got no more pain. And she was sharing how people were recognizing that there is such a big difference with her. And as I was talking to her, I noticed Jenny sitting there, and I said, well, Rosa, you need to listen to Jenny's testimony and what God did to her. And I walked up to Jenny and I asked her to get up and just quickly share her testimony. And I put my arm around her, and within 2 or 3 seconds, the power of God hit this woman, and she just went down like a sack of potatoes. Boom. And you know what? This is biblical. Because look at this. Matthew 14, verse 35 and on. People brought him all their sick and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Jesus did not know what was wrong with these people, and it didn't really matter. The moment they touched him, anointing and power went from him into them, and they were instantly healed. She didn't tell us why she came here. We had no idea what she needed prayer for. In fact, I didn't go there to pray for her. I went there to ask her to share her testimony. But when I touched her, the power of God came upon her, and 2 hernias pulled back in, and they are completely healed. Can you give the Lord a hand, please? So, my friend, where does that leave you? Well, I want to say something to you. God is not a respecter of man. If you have faith, God can work with you. If you have faith, the Bible says, as a tiny little mustard seed, which is not really big, then God can do miracles, signs, and wonders in your life as well. I started off by saying to you that God is real. You know what? There's a lot of churches where people get taught, preached to, but they never ever experience the power of God. That's what made Jesus different. Jesus didn't just talk about it. The power of God was demonstrated through him. You have no reason to say that Jesus is not real, or to say that the kingdom of God is a hoax, because you see these things happen in front of you. And why does God do that? Because it brings faith. Now, what does God expect you to do? Testify. Testify. Do you know what would be wonderful? If all of you, somewhere in the week coming, even though it wasn't you that were healed, if you would go and say, listen, you know what, I was at a church service where this woman testified that for 18 months she could do nothing, and I saw this woman walking around, and later tonight you're going to see her dancing. Believe me, she can. I saw it. And you share that testimony. Can I tell you why? Because you're planting a seed of faith in somebody else. And when you do that, that is when the power of God manifests. Let's look at that first scripture again, just quick. I'm going to read to you from the book of Acts. No. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. News spread about him all over Syria, and all the people, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain and demon possession, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. It was when Jesus was sharing the good news of the kingdom that the power of God was released. It was when the people shared with other people the blessings of the kingdom of God that people got healed. I want to ask you a question. How many things in your body or in your finances or in your marriage or in some area of your life needs healing or a touch from God? Just wave at me. If you know that you need the power of God and the fire of God, when does the fire come down? When you speak about God. When you share testimonies, the anointing begins to flow. A lot of people say to me, oh, Rian, how can I get anointing? Well, I want to say something to you. You can't steal mine because what was given to me is mine. You can't have it. But the more you speak, the more you testify, the more you share, the more the anointing starts coming through you and begins to touch first your life and then the life of those that you speak to. And I want to remind you, the Bible says it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. You got a yoke in your life. You got something holding you back. You got something keeping you from going forward, having victory, being blessed, prospering. The best way is to get the anointing of God to come into your life to break the yoke. Sometimes we don't want to share things. We think, oh, but people are not going to be receptive. Or you know what, this is too small. There's nothing too small. The Word of God says, if I find you faithful in the little things, I will give you the big things. Can I tell you something about most people? Because, you know, even though we're not exactly the same, we're all a bit similar. Everybody wants the big things to start out with. You see, God, the reason he doesn't give us the big things is because we haven't proved to him who we are in handling the little things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes God expects you to share with one person, yeah, one person there, one person there, and before you know it, you're sharing with 100 or you're sharing with 1,000. But be committed. Be faithful in the small things and see how quickly God can open the doors that lead to the big things that you are praying for right now. Amen? Amen. Were you blessed by the testimonies? Amen. Did you learn something tonight? Yes. Yes, you can come. Yes, come.
Hi, everybody. It's something that happens every day. But I, like Rian says, we've got to give glory to big things and small things. So this last week, Thursday, I had to take my son through to the airport because he was flying to Durban. And he was very much on top of the hour. And as we get towards Gululis, obviously, always packed, even on a Thursday afternoon. So we set him. Take the R24, take the left, take the left, take the left. And we go around. And as we got off the ramp, there's a roadblock. And now my son starts going off and he's going ballistic. And I'm starting to pray. And I said, Lord, just make a way. Holy Spirit, the Lord, send your angels to clear the way for us so we can get through this in time. And he starts going and going and going. And as more as he's going, the stronger I am praying. Eventually, he turned around. The queue moved quite fast. They pulled the guys in front of us, and we just went. Turned, made the U-turn. Not lawfully, anyway. Made the U-turn. Another roadblock on the different direction. And I carried on praying and praying, praying. The two guys in front of us got pulled off. And we thought, I said, we're not getting pulled off. We are going through in Jesus' name. We are going through. And we went through. And we made the airport and they made it to the plane. So I just want to give God the glory for all the small things in our lives as well. Amen.
Amen. Yes, my friend. God is good. Amen. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. Amen. All right. I'm sure that after hearing these testimonies, you have some faith. I don't know what your need is, but I want to invite you to come because we're going to pray for you. Actually, there is something specific that tonight I'm going to touch on, but I'll speak about that a bit later. But if you have a need, if you have some infirmity, some sickness, some problem, some whatever, give God a chance. Have faith. Trust in Him. One of the problems we have is when we got a problem, we first run to the world. And when we've exhausted all our options in the world, maybe I should go to the church. Well, maybe I should ask them to pray for me. No, you should come to God first. Then maybe you don't have to spend a lot of money going to the world. Amen?
Amen.
Let's trust God and let's see what God's going to do for you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Ladies, if you can help us quickly, please. I want to ask, once the chairs are away and the carpets are down, I want everybody in the team to meet with me here behind quickly. Okay. Okay.